Good morning. I'm going to start our time just with some prayer, if you guys would join me. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. God, we thank you that, Lord, that this is your church. Thank you for your provision and for your guidance. And thank you, Lord, that we get to celebrate you today. So, Lord, may you be glorified. God, right now we choose to open our hearts to what you want to say. God, would you speak through me, whether it be your words and not my own. Lord, I choose to receive whatever you have for me today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. So if you had something amazing happen in your life, would you want to tell others about it? Maybe like you were saved from an addiction or healed from something amazing or something challenging, healed in an amazing way or found freedom or... You know, maybe just a feeling of loss, like you just felt loss or despair, and then you found life. Would you want to share that with someone? This is my story, and this really is the basis of our what I'm going to share with you this morning, is that I believe that if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have something worth sharing. And that's really what I want to share, because... For me, I accepted Christ when I was 4, and it was actually on Christmas Eve, and I was talking to my mom about what really is the meaning of Christmas. And in that discussion, she began to share with me this idea, this concept of sin, and I didn't know a whole lot about it when I was 4. You know, but as my mom shared with us this, I began to understand my need for forgiveness, my separation from God, and I didn't understand that before. I didn't realize that I was lost and that I needed to be found. And it wasn't until I had this conversation with my mom, and as she began to explain to me who Jesus is and what his birth represents and why Jesus isn't just another baby that we're celebrating on Christmas. It's God with us. And that's important and that matters. And now, as I look around, as I have this relationship with Jesus Christ, I move from a place of being lost to a place of being found, right? A place of I have true joy and freedom in my life, and I have a God who loves me and a relationship with him, and I can talk to him, and he can talk to me, and he comforts me when I'm discouraged, and he picks me up when I feel depressed. And I still face those challenges, but now I have God with me, right? I can walk with him and I can invite him into those things, and he carries me through. And that's really my prayer for you today. First, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't know what I'm talking about, that you would listen today, that you would allow me the opportunity to share with you just who Jesus is, and see if by the end of this, if it's something that you want. And if you do have a relationship with Jesus, that you would join me in telling others about his goodness. Because that's my prayer for this morning. We are in a series called Who Are We? And we are in, it's basically a series focused on our culture points, a series of values that define us as a church. And we are in our last Sunday on that. We are in week 2 of our culture point of personal evangelism. And I described personal evangelism last week as this, an extremely long run-on sentence. It says, the act of sharing of the activity of God in your life, listening to the spiritual needs of the friend you are talking with, regularly praying for your friends, and sharing the gospel content with them in such a way that God brings conviction of sin and a desire to surrender one's life to him. That's personal evangelism, that we would have a mindset of sharing what God is doing, listening to others, and communicating, just as my mom did when I was a child, in such a way that brings conviction of sin and a desire to surrender one's life to Jesus. So last week, I gave a challenge to everyone in the room, and the challenge was this. Write down the names of 3 people in your life who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, commit to pray for them, and invite them to church. So right now, you're getting passed out a little blue piece of paper. On one side has notes that we'll talk about later. On the other side is blank. If you weren't here last week, or you weren't able to write down some names, I want you to take a moment right now and write down the names of 3 people who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. 3 people that you know, that you interact with, that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And would you commit to this challenge again? Would you commit to pray for them and invite them to church. How many of you guys were able to do this? Just quick raise of hands. How many of you guys had the opportunity to even pray once this week for somebody on your list, even invite them? Awesome, right? I'll share with you some of my adventures this week in getting an opportunity to do that. Go ahead and write down those names, and I'll tell you a little bit about the first one. So this is our Christmas postcard. There's some available in the back. And I share this with you because I, too, have joined in this. I've been praying for some specific people that I wrote down in my list, and I actually had an opportunity to share with someone and invite someone who wasn't on that list. But I've been praying for opportunities. God, would you provide an opportunity? And then here one comes this week. I met with someone came into the church, and they wanted some feedback on something that was going on in their life. They're not a believer. And so as I began to, you know, just kind of listen to this person's story and, you know, they're sharing general or genuine needs. I'm just listening to them and just kind of reflecting on that. And then I got the opportunity to share a little bit of kind of my perspective and my story in that. And I remember after we were done, then I just asked, hey, you know, would it be okay if I prayed for you? Would it be okay if I just took some time right now to pray for you? And they kind of paused and looked at me and said, you know, yeah, I would be okay with that. And so I got the opportunity to pray with them. And then as soon as I was done, I had my Bible with me, and I had shared a verse in that meeting. And in my Bible, I had taken some of those postcards, the Christmas Eve postcards, and I put them in it. And as soon as I opened it up to share that verse with this person, I knew it was God saying, hey, here's your opportunity. Remember you've been praying for it? Take it. And so as soon as I was done praying for this person, I said, hey, I don't know what you're doing Christmas Eve, but I want to invite you to our church service. And I got the opportunity to invite this person. And it was great because, you know, our definition of personal evangelism is these steps. So I got the opportunity to share what God has been doing in my life. I got the opportunity to listen to this person's story, to pray for them. And then I made an invite to the next step where they'll hear a gospel presentation. Now, did I go all the way to the gospel presentation? No, I didn't. But I did get the opportunity to invite them to take one step. Now, this was a challenge, and I was excited because I'm like, yes, this is what I've been praying for, and I got the opportunity to do it. And then I get to stand up here and say, hey, like, I got the opportunity to do this. This was really cool. But you might go, hey, well, that's kind of cheating because you're the pastor, and they literally set up a meeting with you to talk about stuff. And I understand that, and that's not entirely inaccurate, but how easy would it have been to miss the opportunity? Would I have prayed for them? Yeah, probably. That's kind of like, you know, a pretty pastorly thing to do. I would have done that anyway, and honestly, inviting them to church is a pretty pastorly thing to do, but I could have missed that opportunity. But I had been praying, God, would you open my eyes to this opportunity, and there it was. I got the opportunity, and we all have opportunities if our eyes are open to what God is doing, and if our hearts are sensitive to where he's moving. And so I shared this verse last week, 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. I think a lot of times we get caught up in having to, you know, have some specific thing or some specific tool, something that, you know, some script that we could go through that we could say so that we would know how to answer this question. And I think something like that has value. So in fact, I've done that. I've created the script and you can use it. But that when we pray, and when we take out and we step out in boldness, the Holy Spirit moves in us and gives us passion and desire and boldness to communicate. A lot of times we get to this place where we ask this question, how can I know God's will? Right? We ask this question about, like, should I, you know, push into this relationship, or, you know, should I back away? Or should I, you know, buy this or sell that? Or should I go to this school? Or should I step into this opportunity? Or should I turn it down? Should I take this job? Or should I quit my current one? And we ask these specific questions, and we're wondering, is this, God, is this your will? God, is this something that you want me to do, something that you want me to step into? Because we want to be aligned with God's purpose in our life. We want to be aligned because there is a blessing that when we're aligned with God's will, we know, okay, we're on track. And our efforts are going to be blessed as we step into alignment with God's will. John 6:40 says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." There are certain things in Scripture we don't have to wonder. We don't have to wonder, is this God's will? It's God's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes would have eternal life. Absolutely, it's God's will. It's God's will that we share. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are his ambassadors. Go and make disciples. These are all commandments to us. These are all things to us. And we can know, yes, absolutely. There are some things that are specific in our life. We wonder, God, is this your will? Is this, and there is an opportunity to get direction in that. But there are things in Scripture that are very clearly laid out. That as we step into that, the Holy Spirit will empower us. The Holy Spirit will bless our efforts in that. James 1:22 through 25 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." I got the opportunity to step out in faith this week. To say, God, I want to align with your will. I want to align. I want your heart and your perspective and your eyes to see the lost in my community, the lost in my sphere of influence. And I want to align with you in that, in reaching them. And would you bless me? Would you give me boldness in that? Would you bless my efforts? Would you give me opportunities? And he has. I've got several opportunities this week to step into these things. And as I did, I got to be honest, after the first one, After that first one kind of came to my door, God gave me an easy one, which was great. So I got this opportunity, and I was like, I did it. Like, I did it. I totally stepped out, and I got the opportunity to pray with this person and share with them and invite them to the Christmas Eve service and step into this. And after that, I was so pumped. I was like, okay, Lord, my eyes are open. I'm ready. I'm ready for the next one. And then I got another opportunity, and I got another opportunity, and I got another opportunity. And then I missed one, and then I was like, oh, I missed one. And then I'm like, all right, okay, Lord, you know, help me. Help me to have eyes to see what you're doing. I shared last week that that personal evangelism is like a muscle that we need to work out, right? It's something that we need to step into. We need to have like a workout, something that we continue to work that muscle. And as we do, it actually gets easier. And even this week, you know, as I began to step into it, it really got easier. The conversations got easier. I knew what to say, and I was able to step out in boldness. You know, PE for school stands for physical education. So PE for us is personal evangelism, but they both represent working out muscles. We're just working out our spiritual muscles in this. All right, so that's what I want to do today is I want to give you some really, really practical tools. Something that has been useful for me this week. And I was asked earlier when we were talking in our staff meeting, is there something that could just help me take the step? Like, I have a desire. I want to do it. I'm praying for these opportunities. I don't always know what to say or how to step out into it. And so I've been praying a lot this week about what some of those things could be. And so if you want to take out your blue card, if you didn't get one, raise your hand and the ushers can get you one. But these are some evangelism workouts, all right? So this is your PE requirements, all right, moving forward. So what I did is I wanted to create three workouts, all right? So these are all things that every person in here can do. I mean, this is like three easy tips, you know, that if you do this every day for, you know, 2 minutes, you'll be lean and fit spiritually or in personal evangelism or something like that. I don't know. I'm not very good at infomercial pitches. But the idea is that each one of us can step into this. So I want to go ahead and take a look at our first one. Workout one is this. Offer to pray for someone. 1 Timothy 2:1-3 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We are to pray. We're to pray for those in our life. We're to pray for those. I encourage you to write down 3 people specifically and be praying for them. This week, God's constantly been bringing that to my mind, just these 3 people. And there's been other people, but as I've been praying, you know, it's just, I'm involved in something and I'm like, oh yeah, I need to be praying for them. I want to be praying for them. Lord, like, give us opportunities. I invited, you know, our kids into that. Like, Lord, will you help me pray with them? Will you help me instill this value in my children? And learning to invite them into that and pray with them and say, hey, guys, we want to pray that our friends, these people that we care about, would also know Jesus. You know, and with our kids, we have this language, we call it, Jesus is our special friend. And so that's what my kids are praying, you know, praying for these people and saying, you know, that they would know Jesus as well. So go ahead and take out your blue card, and we're going to go through this real quick. Workout number one, offer to pray for someone. The first thing that we do is pray for opportunities. Pray that God would present an opportunity. And I'm confident that when we pray, you'll get that opportunity. Number two, pray before you go. Pray that God would give you boldness, that you would recognize the opportunity, that your eyes would be open, and that you wouldn't be afraid to step out. And then third, ask permission. I love asking people permission. If somebody comes and they share something with me, I like to ask them permission before I respond. And the reason is it really puts people at ease. It gives them the permission, it gives them the ability to say, you know what, actually, I don't want your feedback, you know? And that's happened to me twice in my life, you know, when I asked, hey, do you want some feedback? 2 times people have said no. But thousands of times people have said yes, much to my surprise sometimes. But asking permission to pray for them. So then you ask them, you could say, excuse me, do you mind if I ask you a somewhat personal question? 4, then say, I'm a follower of Christ and I like to pray before I eat. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Now, this is a specific example because this week, my second opportunity, the one that I've been praying for these specific people, right? But then I got another opportunity that wasn't those 3 people that I'm praying about. I was meeting at Red Robin in Monroe, and I was meeting with Steve Mitchell, who's a local pastor of Northview. It's a sister church of ours, and he's a mentor of mine. And he got a phone call, and as he's on the phone call, I felt the Holy Spirit just tugging on my heart. And our waitress came, and she dropped off our food, and I looked at her, and I said this. I said, hey, excuse me, do you mind if I ask you some personal question? And she's like, you know, kind of just, I just dropped your food off. Why are you asking me a personal question? You know, but then she's like, no, that's fine. And then I looked at her and I said, hey, I'm a follower of Christ. I like to pray before I eat. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And she was just shocked. She's like, what? Wow. Yeah, I'd be okay with that. And I was like, is there anything specific? And she's like, yeah, if you could pray for my family, that would mean a lot for me. I was like, anything specific? She's like, no, just pray for my family. And I said, hey, that'd be my pleasure. And then Steve gets off the phone. He's like, hey, what was that about? And I said, hey, we're going to pray for our waitress. We're going to pray specifically for her family. And he's like, awesome, sounds good. And we got the opportunity to pray. And I've had several opportunities to do this. This used to be something that I did really regularly, but honestly, I've fallen out of practice. I've got muscle fatigue in that. But how easy is that? And I've only ever had one person say no. And I think it was more to do with, like, the place was super busy. And I'm like, hey, can I pray for you? And they're like, wait, what? You know, I got to go. That's why I've learned to ask permission. But what an easy opportunity. And they were so impacted. I've had a couple times where I remember I asked one waitress, I think I was at an Applebee's. I asked if I could pray for her, and she immediately burst into tears. And I was like, oh, whoa, okay. You know, what's going on? You know, and she's like, yeah, we just found out yesterday my mom has cancer. Would you pray? And she actually sat down and I prayed for her right there. I had another one burst into tears and she's like, yeah, I actually just went through a breakup. And it's really hard. So easy. What does it cost me? Right? What does it cost me? A moment. That's it. An opportunity to share God's love and just reach out and pray. So this is just a practical tool. Take time to pray with them. If they stay, great. If they're at work and they need to go, let them go. And last, if they say no, let them say no. It's okay. You can still pray quietly for them, even if they're not there. I mean, don't be rude about it, but ultimately, you know, you can pray for them. So workout number one is to offer to pray for someone. And it doesn't have to just be in a restaurant. It could be, you know, when a coworker shares a challenge, or if you're in school, a classmate shares something. Just taking the moment, being bold enough to say, you know what? Wow, that sounds really hard. Can I pray for you? And most people I found will say, yes. They'll say, wow, like, thank you for caring enough to do that. And then to actually do it, to stop and say, hey, let's pray right now. Like, let me pray for you right now in this moment. It's powerful. It's powerful just simply offering to pray for someone. It's amazing how much it can change somebody's heart and how they receive that. Workout number two is this. Share what God is doing. Share what God is doing. This is Psalm 73:28. It says, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. And the psalmist is describing that they are moved by what God has done in their life, and they want to share what's going on. I'm going to read a longer passage to you. It's not going to be on the slide because it needs a little context, and it's a little bit longer, but this is from Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading Acts 4, 13 through 20. But prior to this, in Acts chapter 3, it's Peter and John, the disciples Peter and John, and they're kind of walking to the synagogue, and on the way, there's this beggar who's been there his entire life, and he's this lame man, and he asks them, it's like, hey, you know, is there anything that you can give me? And so the disciples respond to him, you know, I can't give you any money, but what I can give you, I give to you freely. And then they look at him and say, get up and walk, and he's immediately healed, and he walks. And then he runs around and he tells everyone, hey, I've been healed, and look at what's happened. And he's jumping and dancing around, and everyone recognizes him because for most of his life, he's been there. He's been that lame man that's been right there begging, and people knew who he was, and they saw him jumping around and walking. And so then we pick up in Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 13, and what had happened was basically the religious leaders called before, and they're trying to figure out, how do we explain this? How do we explain away with this? They're scared of what's happening in Jesus' name. And so verse 13, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin. And they then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. These are the religious leaders. They say, everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. What I love about this story is at the beginning it says, when the people saw that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. They were astonished. They were astonished that these ordinary, unschooled men were doing something so bold and stepping out in an amazing way. And when ordinary people speak out with courage and boldness of God's goodness, people take notice. And even in those simple situations, while my story isn't half as cool as this, right? I can tell you that that waitress took notice when I said, hey, can I pray for you? I can tell you that she, and I don't know if I was the only one that did that today. My assumption is probably yes, but I bet you she remembered it. I bet you that she took notice to what happened. And I love that passage. And I think the part is sometimes we get to this place where we go, you know, evangelism is the job of a pastor, is the job of, you know, an evangelist, or as my brother likes to call those in ministry, the professional holy people, right? But I have, the challenge with that is I'm still learning and growing in this. These are still muscles that I need to work out. And if the responsibility falls on BJ or falls on Jeff, then we're in trouble. Because I still need to grow. And some of you are better at this than I am. And so instead, I invite you, I personally invite you to join me. To join me in growing in this. Join me as I step out in humility and say, hey, church, I'm here. I want to demonstrate this process. I want to show, let's learn together. I invite you to join me in it. Let's work these muscles out together. Let's be a church that's known for sharing God's goodness. I was presented, Nicole was talking to me, and she's like, you know, like how many of the like owners of the restaurants in town do you know? And I'm like, I was just thinking in my head, I'm like, yeah, I know most of them. You know, and it's not like there's that many good restaurants in town, right? There's like probably, what, 20 total, and I'm probably above the mark. I don't know if there is 20. There's definitely not 20 good ones, but there is 20 restaurants in town, right? And I go to them constantly, all these meetings and everything that's going on, and I know several of the owners of these restaurants. And I've had some great experiences. I remember one time I went to a restaurant, and as I'm like ordering my food, The owner behind, she knows that I'm a pastor. She knows that I have several meetings there. We've had lots of conversations. She breaks down in tears about a challenge that's going on with her daughter. And she's sharing with me. I've got people behind me in line. And the owner of the restaurant's crying. And she's like, behind the counter, she's telling me like, wow, you know, I really want your prayer for this. And I said, hey, you know, why don't we step aside? And I got the opportunity to pray with her. And I was meeting with Garrett at the time. And she said, would you be willing to talk with my daughter? And so Garrett and I, we got the opportunity to talk with her daughter briefly. But just offering to help in these moments, and there's been several like that, even several with that particular owner. And there's many more that I know. There's another owner of a local restaurant who is a believer, and he shared with me just kind of the financial challenges that he was wrestling with both his business and his home, and I got the opportunity to pray with him. And it just got me thinking, What if each one of us in this church, what if we did that? What if every time we went out to a restaurant, even here in town, and we said, hey, do you mind if I ask you a somewhat personal question? Can I pray for you? How would that shape the culture here? How would that change even this small community? I bet it would very quickly, people would take notice and things would they would be impacted. They would be astonished by ordinary men and women stepping up and saying, hey, let me tell you a little bit about who God is and share with you. So workout number two is share what God is doing. Before I go into kind of some of the specifics of the thing, I want to invite Nick up to just share with you a story he had this week, which actually helped kind of pull some of this together. Go for it, Nick.
So that passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15, it's just been, we've been kind of like talking about that a lot in our staff meetings on Wednesdays. And BJ, BJ, you've really just caught in a passion for evangelism like these last couple of weeks. It's been really cool. And so it's been affecting and being contagious with our staff. And the Lord's been really going after my heart. And just the thought of always, you know, being ready to give the reason for the hope that I have. And what came from that for me was just thinking about, you know, when someone asks me next time, like, how I'm doing, I want to tell them what God's doing in my life. And I don't want to resort to, oh, like life's pretty good, like living at home. You know, now I can say I got engaged, which is awesome. and, you know, work's good, life's good, like, I'm doing well, and just, like, the cliche things that we go to, and I was like, you know what, I want to make a choice right now. When someone asks me how I'm doing, I want to be intentional to say what God's doing in my life. And we've been going through Isaiah in our staff meetings, and it's just been really apparent to me and really just impactful how much God really does love his people, how much he loves us, despite us turning our backs from him. And so it was just like in my mind, and I went down after our staff meeting, and we were just praying for the Lord to give us opportunities, and I was praying for that, and I went down to go exercise at Duval Fitness and ran into the librarian from Carnation. She's retired now, and I haven't seen her in a really long time, but she knows our family really well. She knows me really well, and she asked me, of course, Nick, how are you? How's life? How's it going? And I just was like, you know what? I'm going to, like, by the Spirit's power, I'm going to be bold here, and I'm just going to tell her, you know what? God is doing awesome things in my life. And I said that, and I said, God's actually teaching me so much about his love. Here's what's going on in my life. Here's what I'm doing. And then I got a chance to invite her to Christmas Eve. And it wasn't until after the fact that the Lord was like, see how simple that was? Do you see how easy it is to join with me in my mission? And so I am still praying for a heart to really care and have a vision for evangelism. And I'm just super excited that that's part of our culture. That's where we're heading. And BJ, like, thanks for leading us there. The Lord's working in my heart in some big ways in that area. So I just want, thanks for the opportunity to share it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, man. So if we take a look at our workout card, workout number two. Number one, pray for an opportunity. Pray for an opportunity. When we pray, God presents that opportunity to us. Number two, reflect on and write down specific examples of what God has been doing in your life. Write down something. Be ready to share. And I was thinking in my own life, just what are some things that I could share about? Our van, we have one kind of family car that can actually fit our family. It's just this van that we have. And we were having some trouble with it, and it really seemed like the transmission was going out, and I was just terrified. I'm like, Lord, we don't have the money to replace the transmission. I really don't want our car to be dead. Our other car isn't that great of a car, but not only that, it literally can't fit all the members of our family. So it's not like I could just fall back on the other one. I'm like, oh no, what are we going to do? And so I dropped off the car last week at Cedar Park. They have like a mechanic ministry. Cedar Park's a church in kind of Kirkland. And so the whole time just kind of praying, God, please don't let it be the transmission. Like, not something catastrophic, you know, what if it's just something small and I just have to buy a $5 part and it all works, you know? And so I was praying, God, please, please let it not be that. I got a call from the mechanic this last week, and he said, hey, I know you've been worried that it's the transmission. It's not that. It is something smaller. It's going to be way cheaper. And I was like, yes, thank you, Lord, for that. Then on top of that, I have somebody else that's like, hey, we would love to just help take care of some of the cost of that. And I'm like, oh, God, you're so good. Thank you. Like, not only was it not the transmission, and now somebody's offering to pay with that, and then the Madeiras have been so kind to let us use their truck, which actually fits my whole family. And so we have, the needs are covered. And it's just amazing how God has come through and just provided really practical things for our family. And that's like literally this week. Another thing, I've been praying for a friend now for years. The process was about 2 years. He wanted to be a missionary in France and was continually applying for a visa. And it was really difficult and kept on getting rejected. And he was applying and applying. And they'd come back with, like, you didn't fill out this form, or your French isn't good enough, or you didn't do this right. And it was like, oh, and every time we come back and just be like, no, Lord, like, we know that this is where he's supposed to be. We're going to continue to pray and continue to trust you. And then about 6 months ago, he finally got the acceptance. Finally was able to go. And now for 6 months, he's been in France serving as a missionary. It was a huge praise. Something I've been praying for and consistently for years. And then saying, okay, like, the walls came down and now he's there. These are specific things in my life that I am excited to share with people. But be prepared, number three, be prepared for someone to ask you how you're doing, all right? Now, someone is going to ask you this question. They will always ask you that question because it's the first thing our culture does. When you see somebody, hey, how's it going, all right? Now, instead of answering with whatever silly response you might have, yeah, I'm just living the dream, or, you know, just work and family and Christmas and, you know, whatever. You know, kids are kind of crazy, but it's cool. You know, whatever it is, you know, instead of sharing about, you know, the new video game that we got or the, you know, the class or the teacher that we don't like for some of you younger ones, what if instead we just said, yeah, let me tell you about what God is doing in my life. I actually wrote down what Nick said. Number four, it says, answer with a story of what God has been doing in your life. You know, I'm doing great because God has been showing me more and more lately just how much he loves me. How are you doing? How easy is that? How easy is that? And what have we lost? In fact, we'll probably look better because instead of just doing the, I don't know, I'm doing good and, you know, that, we'll actually have a really deep, honest answer. So how amazing is that? So workout number two is share what God is doing. Share what God is doing. I was thinking, everyone can do this, and the only excuses you might have are as if you say, well, I don't really talk to anyone, all right? Well, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, okay, obviously if you're here, that's probably not true, but if you're sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, I don't talk to humans, all right? then here's my kind of challenge back to you. I went and I bought something at Safeway this week, and I bought something at Lowe's. And as I was going through the check stand, what's the first thing they asked me? Hey, how are you doing? All right, so there is no excuse. Someone will ask you, all right? So the next time you go to buy something, they'll ask you, how would it be if you responded to them honestly? You know what? Yeah, God's doing awesome things in my life, right? What would the response be from the people behind you in line? What would the response from the teller be? And you don't have to go into this expansive monologue, but be honest with them. Here's what God is doing in my life, and I'm excited to tell about it. Number two, if you're like, well, I don't have any cool things to share, right? Maybe that's your excuse, is I don't have any cool things to share. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, right? Beyond just the amazing transformation that comes through Jesus in our salvation, the freedom that we have from sin, that we've been, we are made a new creation, that we are his children. Beyond all of those things, if you still can't come up with something, then the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And so my encouragement to you is, if you're in a place where you're like, I can't come up with a good story, I want to just personally challenge you. Would you come and sit in the front row at the end of the service? Would you allow people to pray with you? Because if this is the fruit of the Spirit and you're feeling that, then you're carrying something. You're carrying a burden that the Lord wants to release you from. So would you come and be bold and ask for prayer this morning? Workout number two, share what God is doing. Workout number three, my clicker died. Need help. There we go. We're going to number two, share what God is doing. Go ahead and advance to the next one. Workout number three, invite someone to church. Now, the invitation to church isn't just so that we can fill seats. That's not the goal. That's not the goal. The goal isn't just to have more people here. The goal is that people would experience a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the invitation to church is one, we invite people to church because we believe that what is happening here is something that's worth sharing, right? Because we come here on Sunday to experience authentic community. We come here to worship our Savior and Lord. We come here because we share those values. And we invite people because we trust that when they experience this, that they're going to hear a gospel message, that they're going to be invited into a community, that when somebody comes in, that they'll be welcomed. And so if I'm inviting somebody to church, it means I have ownership in what their experience is like. Now, I've had the opportunity to invite several people this week, people that I know are actively against God. I got the opportunity to invite them. Nicole and I have invited several people. And it was amazing, even those that were actively against God, their response was, you know, thank you for inviting us. We might not come really what church is, we're actively against, but we know it means a lot to you. And so I would really take time to consider it. Thank you for inviting us. Now these are people that are actively against God, and that was their response to the invitation. And I can only imagine that all the time that I've spent praying this week, God was softening their heart for that invitation. right? But I'm inviting them. And I can tell you that when I invited them, my first thought was, okay, when they walk in that door, I want to be ready. I want to have a culture. I want to have a church where we're ready, where we're expecting people to show up when we invite them, and we're ready to share the gospel. And so this morning, you'll notice I shared right as our welcome, hey, if you're new, welcome. If you're sitting here now and you're new, I want you to know, I'm asking. I'm inviting people to church. We're encouraging people to invite people to church, not because it's about filling a seat here, but because the God of the universe has a personal relationship with me, and he wants one with you. And I want to be the kind of person that believes that and that shares that. And if you are invited here today, that's why. Because your friends want you to experience that. You can go ahead and advance the slide. This is Kaya's baptism. I found this picture as I was looking in my computer, and I was just celebrating. I'm like, this is what it's about, right? This is what it's about. This is when I invite somebody to church, this is the ultimate goal, is that somebody could, that their story could be like Kaya's, where they could stand up and say, you know what, yeah, I'm proud. I'm boldly proclaiming I'm a witness to what God is doing in my life. And it's exciting to find those old pictures and to share them. And thank you, Kaya, for permission to share that. Workout number three, invite someone to church. Let's look at our card. It says, pray for an opportunity. Number two, be prepared with dates, times, etc. What I've noticed is that when I invite somebody, I can't make the assumption that they always know when church is going on, right? They don't. So I grabbed some of those Christmas cards, the Christmas Eve cards, and I was able to give those away. I encourage you, grab some of those in the back. We want to have a card that just has general service times that you can give away. But have something, give them something so that they don't have to like face additional awkwardness and come back and say, wait, what time was it that you invited me to? They know. It's something they can carry with them. So have that ready. Then say something like, are you available Sunday or on Christmas Eve? And then respond with an invite. I wrote down, as you know, I'm really involved in my church and we're doing a special Christmas Eve service. I'd love if you'd consider coming. Or, I don't know if I've shared with you much about my church, but we're starting a new series on James on January 15th. I'd love if you'd consider coming. How hard is it to do an invite? It's pretty easy. My encouragement to you is that you guys would work out the evangelism muscles this week, and that it wouldn't just be this week as you continue. As a kind of staff leadership team, we've been talking about, okay, how can we shape our culture to be one that expects new people to come? Because I am confident that as we step more into this, as the Holy Spirit moves in us and opens our eyes and we make these invites, that the Holy Spirit will respond in their hearts and people will come. And so shaping our culture, shaping our service here to be ready to receive them. That means having people ready to greet them and welcome them. Having a culture where it's okay if somebody's here and they don't believe and we can talk to them about it. I'm going to invite the worship team up as we close in prayer. Jesus, I thank you so much. God, I thank you that you love us, that you have a personal relationship with us, that you care about what we're struggling with, you care about what we're working on. God, I thank you that we have the opportunity to experience true healing and freedom. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us a burden for the lost in our community. God, that you would give us opportunities, that we would have the boldness to reach out, that your Holy Spirit would empower us to be bold, to step out in faith and to share you with someone, share a story or to pray or to invite them to church. God, would you move in us in a powerful way, and would you help us to spread your kingdom in this community? Just you're worthy of being shared. And so, Lord, transform our hearts. We humble ourselves before you and say, Jesus, we need help. We need help to grow in this area. We need help to have a burden for the lost. Soften our hearts and give us your eyes for this community. Jesus, we thank you, we praise you. In your name, amen.